You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
The Catholic Church is ready to canonize its first Native American saint. Kadri Tekakwitha was a Mohawk Indian, the daughter of a chief, born in upstate New York in 1656. Smallpox left her disfigured and partially blinded by the disease, but she embraced Catholicism after that and after losing many members of her family, eventually leaving her tribe to join a Catholic mission in Canada. She's known as the Lily of the Mohawks. In December, the Pope decreed it was her miraculous intervention in 2006 that saved the life of Jake Finkbonner, a 5-year-old boy from the state of Washington. Jake was struggling for life after contracting a flesh-eating bacteria. He had been given last rites. When a nun presented him with a small pendant with Gatari Tekakwitha's profile and name on it, the Finkbonners say Jake's recovery was swift. Native American Catholic groups are celebrating her sainthood, but it's also sparked a great deal of controversy. We have two guests with us today, and I want to begin with you, Kateri Mitchell, Executive Director of the Tekakwitha Conference, and also member of the Mohawk Nation, correct?
Yes, I am.
You were named for the original Gatari Tekakwitha. Why did your parents decide you to name you for her?
My name came through the naming ceremony when I became a Sister of St. Anne in 1960.
So explain to me, this has been a long road trying to get sainthood for Gatari Tekakwitha. Explain to me how it began, how she became a blessed one, and then her road to canonization.
Yes, there's a process of three stages for this title of canonization. And the first one began in the late 1800s, and a process was introduced in Rome as Kateri Tekakwitha being a very holy woman and was able to, you know, survive the tragic disease of smallpox at a very early age. And that time, in as being a very young woman in the teens and also early adulthood, that she had lived a very holy life, one in which she had developed a very close relationship with her God. And by the time the 1800s came around, this cause of Kateri Tekakwitha at the time was introduced through some findings with the Jesuit relations, where the Jesuit priests had a lot of documentation in what they called the Jesuit relations. And from that, a lot of study has been taken place and realized that this young woman was definitely a person who survived a very tragic disease, but also has survived a lot of suffering and did a lot of fasting and a lot of prayer, which warranted a very spiritual journey that she was following.
Let me ask you,
yes,
Kateri, this is probably a real moment of pride for you as a member of the Mohawk Nation and also anticipating the canonization of the first Native American saint. This is perhaps a big moment for you?
Yes, it is. And for many of our people, not only among the Mohawk Nation or the Iroquois people, but indigenous tribes throughout North America who have embraced the Catholic faith along with living the spirituality that we have been given through our Creator God. So Native spirituality and the enculturated aspect of our Catholic faith has become very strong among many of our people throughout this continent.
Okay. And let me introduce our second guest here, Robert Roche, an Apache Indian and executive director of the American Indian Education Center. Robert, this is a different moment for you. This isn't necessarily a moment to take pride, but a moment to step back and contemplate the relationship between the tribes and the Catholic Church.
It is and it isn't. It is a difficult situation for me because I was a product of institutionalization, a part of the system, and have a different opinion of the Catholic Church, which I call RICO.
Why do you call it RICO?
RICO is racketeering, it's organized crime. And my experience historically with the Catholics as far as documentation of the efforts of the Black Robes and the Jesuits, the servitude, the boarding schools in Canada. I think there was 167 of them. In the United States, there was 240 that stripped the Native Americans of their identity and their culture and their spirituality, and mostly through brute force, which is finally coming to become more publicized. I think there was quite a controversy with the, first of all, the Mohawk Nation is in the United States and in Canada, but there's more controversy now in the last 10 years about the genocide of the Catholic Church in Canada. Matter of fact, they were on the brink, Catholic Church was on the brink of going bankrupt because these Native Americans my age, in their 60s, finally were able to file lawsuits and to raise the awareness of the injustices committed by the churches, not only the Catholic Church, but the other churches that were involved, and the Canadian government in Canada and the United States, the military boarding schools that systematically stripped Native Americans of their culture and their spirituality. The servitude that the Native Americans were put through, that were forced as servants in California, decimating those tribes there. So my experience alone.
Yeah, it makes it a difficult moment for you, at least, for celebration, and a difficult moment for other Native Americans as well. That's Robert Roche, executive director of the American Indian Education Center, an Apache Indian, and Kateri Mitchell, executive director of the Tekakwitha Conference, member of the Mohawk Nation, talking about the canonization of the first Native American saint.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.